All right, amen. Aren't they a blessing?
Amen.
Amen. I'm very blessed. You know, I can't remember a time in my life where I've had so many things go right for such a long period of time. Like, I just think this can't possibly go on. Like, something bad has to happen, but maybe that's just me being morbid. But I will tell you, I'm going on 3 years here. I've never had 3 years like this. And God has been so good to me. And a lot of times I do things and I'm surprised the Lord used me. And I don't know. I just usually something goes wrong. But I don't know what it is. But I'm not questioning God's goodness, so I accept. But I appreciate you. I appreciate working for Pastor Slagle. I told him, you don't get many chances like this in life to learn and to grow. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful for the deacons. We have some great deacons, and they are serving, and they're caring and praying and really in touch with the people. I appreciate that. I appreciate you members. I didn't know my birthday was a big deal. In this church it is, come to find out. Thank you. I appreciate all the warm wishes. I don't think I did. You're supposed to do something on Facebook back, right, or something. I haven't done it yet. But I'll get to it at some point for all of you that wish me well on Facebook. Thank you. Huh? Next year, yes, I'll be, I'm not going to lie. I'll probably fail again next year. But I appreciate all of you. I appreciate all the things that God is doing. I have nothing but gratitude in my heart to the Lord, and I am very thankful. I want to share with you, we're talking today, not about church membership, which of all the nights to do it on, we had a bunch of interviews, and so that's a blessing to see a bunch of new families that want to join our congregation. That's encouraging to see the Lord working in that way. But when I think about church sometimes, my thoughts harken back, and we'll get to where it's going in a minute here. Stick with me. I go back to my early years of marriage, okay? And a lot to learn. I thought, you know, Jaren has taught me many things over the years. But she loves to get gifts and presents. They make her happy. Gifts and presents make her happy. I figured this out. And so that first Christmas comes up, and, you know, the pressure's on if you're a guy. You've got to show that you care, and that's going to involve money. You know that. So, what do you buy the wife? This is the question. And I'd wake up at night crying, like, what am I going to do? I don't know. This is so fearful for me. So I had this plan together. Okay, I didn't know what to get her, but I figured she goes to the mall a lot. If you just walked in there, you'd probably see something that she would like. Hopefully, you can make payments and pay for it over time or something. But there's so many things there. Something has to be good for her that you would see, would catch your eye. You'd be like, that is it. Okay? So I had this all worked out in my mind. Didn't know what to get her. So I thought, I'll give myself some time. So I'll go shopping like at, you know, 6 o'clock the day before. And then that way you have plenty of time. It doesn't close till 9, you know. So you'd have plenty of time to make the payments or whatever. So I walk into this mall. And so I figured I'll just start in the middle of the mall, you know, that's a safe thing. You look up the different corners of the mall. You've got JCPenney's, you got Sears. What's the other one? I don't even know. Macy's. I'm proud of myself. I pulled off that one. So all these big stores, right? And I went into them, and there was just so much stuff. I said, this is not going to work. It's just overwhelming. And so I decided the big stores are out. I want something authentic, which is a cliche thing to think, I'm sure. Nope, not doing that. So I found there's all these different specialty stores. Okay, I said, I'm going to go to a specialty store and buy something that's more, you know, special tea for a woman. There's all kinds of those things. They have all different things in there. And so I went to go, and on my way there, they have these islands or kiosks that pop up everywhere around Christmas time. Now, you go to buy something from that place, and then they, like, disappear into the floor again when you come back the next day. So I thought, not doing this, but they looked neat. They had, like, some caps or something that had some kind of logos or something and warm stuff you could put on your hands. Maybe, I thought, okay? So then I thought, you know what? I'm going to do something she likes. She likes stuff that smells good. And so I thought, look for stuff that had smell associated with it. You know, smell is our strongest point of memory. I don't know if you know this. Interesting fact. So they have the ladies' lotion shop. Bath and Body Works. There it is. Okay? And that's just smell overload, right? I walked in there, and there's so many smells coming at you. You know, cucumber, meadow breeze, sunshine, you know. And I took two steps in there and I said, I'm not going to stoop to this level. So I took two steps back out. I have pride and I'm not going to lower myself. So I exited the building quickly. And at this point, I was just overwhelmed. My senses were on overload. I felt inadequate for the task. I hadn't started to cry yet, but I was getting close. And I thought, how do I salvage this marriage? What do I do next? And so I thought, you know what? I'm done making choices for the day. I need something to relax, maybe get something to eat. And so rather than making choices, I'll just head to the food court. It was also the wrong decision. Because I get there, now you have to decide what to eat. Okay? There's all types of choices. There's the Chinese brand name Chinese food. There's the mom and pop Chinese food. The mom and pop are $2 cheaper and there's no line, so that's usually a clue. That's the way to go. There's different types of sandwich shop. There's name brand sandwiches. There's mom and pop sandwiches. There's Italian food under a heat lamp, just like they do in Italy, I'm sure. All kinds of stuff there. There's the healthy food place. I don't even know what that means, so I don't even go there. And then there's all different kinds of soup. But if it's above 50 degrees outside, I'm not doing the soup thing. That's out, right? That's only for when it's really cold. You know, this mall, you know, you know what I did? I got back in my car, I just left. I mean, that's just, there's no way you could buy one thing and feel good about it. It's just not possible. Because you'd feel bad about all the stuff you didn't buy. And so I think I ended up buying, I bought her like 10 gift cards. So you figure it out. I love you, though. I love you. That was behind it all. This is what I would say to you, okay? If you want options in your shopping, malls are good. But, unfortunately, in the spiritual realm, having lots of different places is not necessarily good. Okay, as Americans, we are consumers, and so we want the best deal. We shop from place to place. Unfortunately, I think this has spilled over into the spiritual world and spiritual realm. And we view the church as like a store in the mall, okay? I've got this teacher over here and that teacher and this conference and this workshop over here. And unfortunately, I think for many believers today, it's like we go from thing to thing to thing, just like I would go from store to store to store. And this is how people view the church. The church is one option that I have. And I think this completely defeats the purpose that God intended when he built the church. When God made the organization of the church, it was so that I would be accountable. It'd be so that I would join. It'd be a place that God could hold me accountable. I could hold my brothers and sisters accountable, and they could hold me accountable. And we could hold our feet to the fire week after week after week. Okay? Now, I'm not committed to the mall. Okay? You can buy something, and I get updates. You ever get updates? You know, this store is going out of business. If you have something you don't like, take it back now, quick, before they close. I mean, those stores come and go, right? You see the gray pieces of wood in front of it? That means something better is coming in, right? All new next fall, and something else will pop out of that spot. They usually follow the same theme, but it's just a newer version of it. And so those things come and go. But I will tell you, the church is not something that comes and goes. The church is here permanently, and it is for you, okay? I want to encourage you not to be believers who float from thing to thing to thing, but help us to be believers who are accountable to one church that God can use. One consistent place where we can serve, and one consistent place that God can use to make us more like Christ. I want to talk to you today about the importance of one church. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray as we look at the Scripture, help us to be what you would have us to be, Lord. Help us to see things that are important to you, and may it be important to us. Lord, minister to our hearts, Lord. I'm thankful for a chance to speak to these believers. And Lord, you know the burdens they carry, and so I pray that I'd be helpful to them. Help me to be accurate to your word. And Lord, I pray that you would use us, Lord. Help this church to be what you think it should be, Lord. And may we live up to your expectations, Lord. And I know there's things that you want to do here. Help us not to block your spirit from working in our midst, Lord. And we need your help this day in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Let's talk about the church. What is the church? What does the New Testament describe? When the New Testament talks about the word, the church, it never once talks about a building or a piece of land, right? We point to that church. This is this church. This is this church. This is this church. The New Testament doesn't talk this way, okay? It's not about a building. Church is a community of believers, okay? Now, although we have our services here, fellowship goes on outside even these buildings. Church is happening. Church can happen on Facebook. Did you know this? Or during the prayer chain. That's church is happening. People post stuff. By the way, for those of you who post on the prayer chain, I always pray for you. I don't always write to say I'm praying for you, but I am. Keep posting. It's good. And I've posted a few times, and I needed the prayer. So thank you for those of you who pray on the for the prayer chain. This is church. Church can happen at a coffee shop. Church can happen at a park. Church can happen at a house. Church happens as believers, as we fellowship. We're a committed group of believers. Boy, don't we need fellowship in this day and age? Don't we need that encouragement? And, you know, I think there's levels to fellowship, okay? So sometimes it's just an encouraging word. Hey, how was your day? Sometimes it's easy just to talk nonsense. What's going on in your world? What's happening in the news? And that's a sense that that's encouraging. But the true deep fellowship is what we have in Christ, okay? And it's encouraging each other. This is what God's teaching me. This is what I'm struggling with. Can you pray for me? Can I pray for you? Okay, this is getting to the heart of what Christianity is. And God uses us as believers to help each other and to build church among us, build this community. Now, the question comes, those of you who are scholars, you would scratch your head and say, yes, but what is the church? Isn't the church a universal body of believers? And so we know in Ephesians 1:22, I'll have it up here in a second. Here we go. We think about Christ came. He died on the cross. So God had worked in Israel in the past. Christ came, set up a new covenant. And now he establishes the group of believers who identify as his body. And this is, we call this the church. Or we call this the universal or the invisible church. Ephesians 1:22. And hath put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things, to be the church. So here we have a sense. In a sense, church is a universal thing, okay? It's all the body of believers on one level. For instance, I can meet somebody on the subway and talk to them about what God's teaching me and encourage them if they're also a believer and we can share what we have in common in Christ. Or you go to another country and you have people you have almost nothing in common with, and yet you're encouraging each other in Christ. The Lord has given you that connection. And so, in a sense, church is a broad thing. But I will tell you, the emphasis in the New Testament is usually on church as in a local body of believers. And we look at the word itself, church, ecclesia, and it's the idea of an assembly or a called out group. And so we assemble. And this is our body. And let's look at the New Testament. What does it talk? Does it ever talk about a group of believers assembling and being a church? Or is this just me talking? Well, let's look at some scriptures that talk about it. Okay, here we go. Acts 11:22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. Okay, this is a specific church. This isn't just a large group of believers. This is a specific gathering that met together and kept each other accountable. 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God which is in Corinth. Okay, this is a specific body, a specific church, a specific gathering. 1 Corinthians 16:19, the church of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Okay, so we see that group that met together in their house. Now, this blows our minds. You could have house church. Yes, okay? Before we had money for big fancy buildings, people would meet in various homes. You think this is local church. Just imagine living next door to the people and you met in their house. I mean, that's accountability, and they had lots of it. Colossians 4:15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. Okay? So this is specific groups. Philemon, verse 2. And to our dearly beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldiers, and to the church in thy house. And so you see from these scriptures, universal church does exist, but I'm going to say the emphasis is on a local group of believers that get together that I'm accountable to, okay, that I know them. I can rub shoulders with them. I can talk to them. We can have relationship, and I am accountable to this group. They know. They know me. They talk to me. And we have relationships, so we have the freedom to be open and encouraging to each other and build each other up and serve each other. All right. So now I've painted the picture. There's a universal church out there, I believe. The New Testament will emphasize the relationship of a local church and the responsibility we have to a local church. Now we're going to add one more step to this. We're going to talk about membership today. Membership is there's this local church, and I'm going to join, and I'm going to be a part of it. Okay, does the Bible teach this, that I have to be a part of a church? Or can I be universal and flow from church to church to church to church to television evangelist to internet, whatever? Can I just float from place to place, or do I have to join one actual place? Well, let's see what the scripture says about this. Acts 2:41, and they that gladly received his words were baptized the same day, and were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So here we have Pentecost. Now remember, we had the group of disciples in the upper room. We have, I think, something. We know of at least 120 of them, roughly, that had met beforehand. You have the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes down. Peter preaches, filled with the Holy Ghost. They're speaking in tongues. You have a large group that are saved. And then it says that they're added. I looked up this word added. Guess what it means? In addition to. Did you see that one coming? I did. Okay, so what we have is we had a group of believers that are united together. Okay, and then this group gets saved. And what do? They hang out from time to time? No. We want to join. Now, does this joining, do you think that they had like a record, a written list of names that they added and subtracted to the list of people that were part of their church? Doesn't say. But I like to think that they did. If they said they added them to the church, then they had to have some way of recording this. Okay? Now, we have our process of membership. Is it exactly the same as what they had? Probably not exactly the same. I think culture and situation, you would adapt things to where you're at. But the fact is that when they were saved and baptized and they joined the church, they were expected to be united to that church and be responsible to that church. And later, they cast people out. How do I cast you out if you're not in league, in membership with me? Okay? So we know they took this seriously. Okay, I was over here now, and now I'm a part of this group, so I will identify with this group. 5:14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multiplied both men and women. So here we have this church, and they're going to do this again. Okay? We had this church. We added 3,000. Then a little bit later, we're going to add even more to that. And so you get the sense that they took very seriously the fact that they were a part of this group. Looking further down, Romans 6:16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who was a servant of the church which is in Centuria. Okay? So, Paul's using this example of this believer and saying, okay, this Christian sister we have, she's a member from this church, and so she's going to come over and help you. And so we see the fact that she's tied to a church. She's not just loose and floating about. And so those are all my slides. Thank you. Were you impressed by that PowerPoint? I took a class on PowerPoint years ago. Let's see. Didn't retain much, you can tell. All right. What does all this mean for us? God gave us the local church, and he wants to have it be a benefit and a blessing. But for us to be a benefit to us, for it to be a blessing to us, we need to join. We need to commit. We should regularly assemble. We should regularly serve. This is our expectations. Now, I know things can come up health-wise. People go through various trials and different situations. But as much as I'm able, I should be here identifying with the body of Christ, being built up with the body of Christ, serving my brothers and sisters, being encouraged, and God can use this. Now, if God calls me to this church, then this is where I need to be committed, okay? This is where I need to join and be committed. Some people are committed as long as things go well. By the way, in the Christian life, do things always go well? No, they don't, okay? I would encourage you, don't just be a fair-weather Christian. If God has called you here, we need to commit to this church, okay? Good times and bad. And you know what? A lot of times God uses those difficult times. But if every time there's something difficult and I say, I'm out of here, how's God going to work? He's not going to work, okay? So we need to be committed. This is the place that God has for me. And you know what? If I'm committed through the good times and the bad times, God can use it in my life, and I can also positively help the church. Now, you know where this is going, don't you? In this day and age, people don't like commitment, do they? Commitment is not the hot thing of today. Unfortunately, we have a selfish culture around us, and the idea of membership is scary to some. And so they're going to raise objections to this membership. I don't know about this. I'm not so sure this is a good idea. And these are some of the objections that I've heard over the years of why people cannot join a church or be regularly joined to it. Number one, I would love to join, but that church has problems. How can I join a church that has a problem? To those people, you know what I say? You're right, we do have problems, number one. Number two, you should join, you would fit right in. You know, we do have problems. I don't sit here and say we don't have challenges. We all have challenges, don't we? I have challenges just like the church has challenges. And it's our job to face the challenges that God puts before us. You know, interesting thing, I think about how Paul wrote to the various churches when he wrote the epistles. And we think of Paul, he's sitting here, he's Paul the apostle, he knows all this stuff. And so he's going to say, I know a lot of stuff. I'm going to write something down and send it over here. And then I'll write something down over here and I'll send it over there. And then I have, oh, Jesus, union to God. Okay, here you go. Send it to this guy over here. Okay, I've written everything I know down. And this is not exactly the opposite of how Paul worked. What Paul did was, as supporting the churches, he would see, what problem does this church have? Okay, let me write some doctrine that'll help them. Okay, here you go. And what struggles do you have? Okay, here you go. You know what's interesting is that sometimes he'll write similar letters to different churches, but he'll bring out different nuances to face the situation that they dealt with. Because every church he dealt with had different problems, and they needed a different part of that doctrine. You know, every church you're a part of has unique struggles. Okay, we all have struggles. We have struggles. There's struggles here. You know, I laugh. Struggles at my previous church, the struggles here, are very different, okay? But we still have them. They're just different, okay? We call them different things. But we all have our struggles. And this is the struggles God has given me. Then this is what I must fight. And this is what I must, the challenge that I must face. You know, I pray that you don't just see this church as having problems and say, ah, no, no. This is my struggle. This is my church. If God has put me here, then I need to address those challenges, okay? If it's me that's a part of this, I need to fix this. I need to grow. We all need to grow, okay? So, if you object to this church because we have problems, yes, I accept. We have problems. Join me. Let's fix them. Okay, another reason I hear why people say they can't join a church. I would love to join this church, but I just can't do it because I need my space. Oh, boy. This is a good one. You need space. Space for what? You know what I often wonder? When people miss church, do they do something better with their time? Is there a better thing you can do than church somewhere that I'm missing? You're missing church. Why? Okay. When you get to heaven, you'll stand before God, and he'll say, did you join my group of believers to celebrate my death and resurrection, to encourage one another, to build up the body? Did you join? You know, God, I had a thing I had to go to. Aunt Sally, it was her after-party, and I couldn't miss it. You think God's going to be impressed by this? No, he's not, okay? I'm going to say, and there's things that may come up, but to the best of my ability, I would like to be here. Matter of fact, I'm probably a little extreme on the church attendance thing, my wife would tell you. Sometimes I'll be laying there sick, and I'll think, I can still make it somehow. And she'll say, no, nobody wants to see you like this. You know, they want you to keep the fellowship to yourself when you're looking like this. But I just think to myself, You know, this is the group of believers. I should be there. And even when I'm sick, which is not too often, I lay there on the couch or wherever, whatever position I was in when the condition hit me usually. My wife usually just lays a blanket over me. She knows 24 hours I'll be fine. I'll get up. But I'll lay there, and I look at the clock, and I say, ah, look what time it is. I should be praying right now. I always think this. I sit there, okay, this is when this would happen. This is when this would happen. Because in my mind, I'm here. This is where God has called me to be. And in my mind, this is where God's going to bless me when I'm here. God is not going to bless me if I'm off goofing off, is he? He's going to bless me when I'm in his house doing what he has called me to do. I know. People need their space. What do you need your space for? I don't know what people need space for. The fact is that your life isn't yours if you're a Christian. Your life is Christ's, okay? And the only freedom you have is the freedom to give him your life. You need to lay down roots and be content with what God has given you. If this is where God has for you, then be here. If God has called you somewhere else, go there. But don't float in midair. Be where God has called you. You know what I think is really sad is when believers give God the stiff arm, okay? I accept you at arm's length. You know what I think sometimes? I think they don't realize this, but I think they're keeping God's blessing just outside of them. It's like they're so close to God really working. You know, I see families that struggle, but they're not quite committed, and it's like God cannot help your family if you're like this, okay? God's not going to pour the blessing on you if you're just keeping him just a little bit away. Excuse me. We got to put our arms down. When we're really ready to wrap our arms around what God has for us and bring in that struggle and bring in the challenges of being faithful, that's when God can bring the blessing to us, okay? Don't keep God at arm's length because you're keeping his blessing at arm's length, okay? It's okay. Your style is not as great as you think it is, okay? Stop trying to protect yourself. Commit to God. He'll take care of you. He'll give you what you need. You can really trust him. I know we think sometimes we can't quite do the whole thing. You know, I'll do part of Christianity. I'll do the parts that are good and it'll help me. The other parts that are just kind of tedious, I'll avoid those. No. You either accept him or you don't, okay? Put down your walls. Let him come into your life. Trust me. He'll help you. The creator of the universe knows more than you do. You'll be fine, okay? It may take some commitment. There may be bumps and bruises along the way, but you'll be glad when you get to the other side. And so, to those of you who need your space, I say to you, why? All right. So people are afraid to commit to church. We mentioned a couple reasons. Here comes reason number three, why people don't join churches. This is what I've also heard. You ready for this? I would join, but I disagree with the church. This is, and then they look scholarly like this, you know? I disagree with the church. Okay, you disagree. Next question. What do you disagree about? Is it a big doctrinal thing? Are they not following the scriptures that are plain for us to all follow? And usually the answer is, well, not really. Now, assuming we weren't following the scriptures, okay? Assuming we weren't teaching what God has clearly said, or we were trying to water down or avoid something, assuming that it's not put into practice in our church, then you should leave the church, okay? I don't have a problem with that. If I were to leave a church, I'll tell you what I would do. I would talk to church leadership and be upfront. It's not a magical, I'm here today, I'm gone tomorrow magic trick. I think you should be upfront with what you are. If you're here, be here. If you're there, be there. I don't know where people disappear to. It's like some people are like Harry Houdini. You're not sure which church or how they're working. If I have a problem with this, what the scripture says, or if God's moved me on, I would go and I would tell them up front, this is where I'm at, this is what's happening. Maybe they disagree, maybe they agree. And then you would do that thing, okay? I'd at least give them a chance to talk to them. Because I think people have misconceptions, first of all, and a chance of that gives the leadership a chance to at least hear what's happening if they're making a mistake. You know, if you say, I got to leave a church, the pastor's blowing it, well, shouldn't he know that? If you really believe that he's blowing it and you're not telling him, are you really helping him? You're not helping him at all, are you? The fact is, a lot of times they don't want to face people. And so if there is truly a problem, I would go and address it. And the Lord moves you on, the Lord moves you on. If the Lord moves me on, I would talk to the people, talk to the pastor or leadership and say, this is what it is. And then I would go somewhere else. Okay? And when the time came I felt I could join, then I would go to the leadership and say, I'd like to join your church. Okay? It's not magical or mystical. You should be up front. People should know where you're at. Okay? We shouldn't be, you should have to call the FBI to figure out what's happening next. Okay? Now, most of the time when people do have disagreements, I find They tend to be over small things. It's easy to nip. Well, I didn't like this. I don't like this song. Well, I think we sang too much of this, or we had too much handshake, or whatever. People have all kinds of stuff they might disagree about. That's fine. But if it's something small, what I would say to you in Christian love, move on. I don't know. Get over it. It'll be okay. You'll be fine. If you don't like the handshake time, you can hide in the back, or I don't know, do something. But life will go on. Most of the time when people disagree with the church, it's over a small thing, okay? And so I would say, don't let little things rob you of your joy, okay? If it's a small thing, you'll be okay. I would also say this to you. If you look at your own life, do you ever change your mind about things? Yes. The answer is yes. Yes, you do, okay? So if you had a time machine, you went back in time and talked to yourself, would you agree with yourself? Probably not. You'd have points of contention. And so I would say to you, if you can't 100% agree with yourself, you probably won't 100% agree with the church, okay? But I would say this, we're not going to sweat the little stuff. Doctrinally, I'm on the same page. What I see practiced is I see practiced in Scripture, okay? Then I can live with little things. There'll always be little things. And as an act of Christ's love, I will overlook little things. And so small disagreements, that's not a good reason to leave a church. If the Lord's working, especially through tension, wrong time. You have something to learn. Stay put. God would like to bless you there. So in our church, this is what we do. This is what our church membership is, if you have not joined. Usually you would come down at the end of a service. You would stand here. I put a little piece of paper with your name and an X by it saying you'd like to join. You read our church constitution. We put in writing what we believe. We put in writing what we covenant together. This is what we expect from you if you want to be a part of our group. This is what you're identifying with. Okay, we expect you to live the way we live, and we're all on the same page. You would read it, you would sign it, and then you meet with the deacons. Not as scary as you would think. They're very nice. We just want to make sure that you are a believer. We look at the pattern of Scripture of regenerate church membership, okay? And so we tell you up front, you give your testimony, you share where you're at, okay? And then when they recommend you, you come before the church votes on you, and you're in. And then you have a responsibility to this body. As long as God has you in this place, it's your job to be involved here and to be faithful here and to serve here. And this is the place where God can use you. All right. In conclusion, God gave us the church. New Testament believers have the gift of the local church. But the church only works if we join it and we're a part of it. Now, when we join, we identify with Christ. And the church can help us as we identify with Christ to keep us on the right path, to keep us serving, to keep us humble, and to keep us looking towards right doctrine. And that, you know, I need the church just as much as the church needs me. This is what God uses. Here's my question for you. Is the church bigger than you? Or are you bigger than the church? If you're bigger than the church, then you don't need us. You don't have to join. But I would encourage you, if this is the place that God is using in your life, if this is the place that God has called to you, I would encourage everyone here to join and to be a member and to be faithful, okay? And to sacrifice and to give and to build up this body that God has called. This is an age of low commitment and easy living, and I would encourage every one of you to be a committed follower of Christ and that you would join and be an active member of this local church. Let's bow our heads together.